This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 21st of November 2021. And today is the new Amateurs edition where we welcome newcomers to the hobby and hand out a bit of gratuitous advice. We've got some stories containing useful information for amateurs, new and old, including an interview of an amateur 12 months on from becoming a new amateur. There's a report from the WA Repeater Group's working weekend at the Busselton VK6 RBN repeater site. And there's more on News West. WA Amateur Radio News took up the production of News West in 2014, although amateur radio news broadcasts have been going for a lot longer. They began in Western Australia in 1931. So we continue to provide the service to amateurs in Western Australia and beyond. And just over a week ago, one of the WIA choir boys on the other side of the country attempted to shut us up. More on that later. So on with the news.
Getting into the hobby of amateur radio is as simple as getting in touch with Ham College, the Northern Corridor Radio Group, or the Radio and Electronics School and getting your foundation license. If getting to Perth for education and assessment is a problem, let Ham College know so they can work out a solution via hamcollege.org.au. We also know that the Bunbury and the Geraldton clubs are gearing up to be able to provide both training and assessments. The next Ham College Foundation course is on the 4th and 5th of December. If you want to do an assessment on December 10, let the college know. That address again, hamcollege.org.au. To encourage new members on air, we'd like to share with you the people who have gained and upgraded their license in the past month. A small crop this month, only 6 new or changed calls. In case you're wondering, there are 1,409 amateur licensees held in VK6 today, a net gain of 4 licenses. At Advanced, Jason and Ken. At Standard, Phil, Ashraf and Adam. And at Foundation, Clancy. For the new calls, congratulations on joining amateur radio. And if you're a dab hand, enjoy your new on-air identity. Of course, if you hear these calls on air, please make them feel welcome. So come on, encourage someone you know who is keen but reluctant to get their license.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
We're sitting here in the shack of VK6 Bravo Alpha Sierra, Brett, who we did an interview with in August 2020 as a new amateur. So we thought we'd take the opportunity to catch up with Brett 15 months after becoming an amateur and see if he's still in the hobby, and if he is, if he's enjoying it, and what he's up to in amateur radio. So welcome to News West again, Brett, for the new amateurs edition, albeit you're not a new amateur, but a bit over a year into the hobby. How have you found the experience?
The experience is very exciting, but daunting. As I say, it's gotten out of hand, to be honest. I thought it was going to start off nice and sedately, but...
When you say out of hand, in a financial out of hand?
Yeah. I've just gotten more and more interested in the hobby as time goes by and all the different facets, whether it be through the digital side of things, through the normal HF, to the 2 meters, 70 sems side of the hobby, and it's... The world's the limit, really, isn't it? So,
Yeah, very much so. So if we recall back August last year, new to the hobby, I know you were probably more into VHF at that stage and then you dipped your toes into HF. So do you have a preference now or both?
Sort of 50-50, but the interest is peaking in both, whether it be the HF or the VHF side of things. I'm just as excited for both of the sides of the hobby. I mean, you know, yourself and some of the guys who'd helped me out over the last 15 months or so, and I'm being where I am without you guys. And it's just getting more exciting every day. New antennas, new towers have gone up, yep. Better equipment.
So speaking of antennas and towers, so what have you done recently?
What have I done recently? Well, a couple of the boys have given me a hand. We put up a 3-stage telescopic tower. Very in the backyard, nice. Which is taller than yours, everyone reckons. So,
I'll edit this part.
And it just opened up a world where I can get my antennas higher. I can turn, I've got beams I can turn. I can hear different things I never would have heard before.
Yep.
And every time I start doing that, my interest gets, you know, starts to peak.
Yep.
And get more and more excited about the hobby. So who knows where it's going to end up?
Well, I can see you sitting in your shack, and we're sitting in the exact same position we were 15 months ago, but I can see in your shack here, you've certainly acquired some additional equipment, to say the least. So obviously the interest certainly hasn't waned by the looks, like you just said, it's increasing. Do you see any limitations to your amateur radio hobby now?
I can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, mate. I'm just
What does the wife think of that?
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah? No, she doesn't mind it. It's fine.
She's probably just looking at that bank account.
No, who knows where it's going to lead me, because I just get more and more excited with the new innovations, new technologies.
Well, I know you're into your FT8 now, and that's taking you in another direction as well. So you're really getting your head into that by the sounds of things.
Oh, very much so. Me being foundation level, you don't need the big power, which is perfect for our level.
Yep.
Obviously, when you progress through the hobby and you get to the standards and what have you, you know, you can put out a bit more power and what have you, have less limitations. So at the moment, it's a great way to actually get into the hobby and actually still contact other countries all around the world, because with that limited power, you're actually allowed. So it's fantastic.
So on the limited power, how have you found only being able to run your limited power? How have you found that on the HF and high bands?
Can you edit this bit out? No, just kidding. Sometimes it's very frustrating. A lot of people say, well, you should be able to put out this big power, you'll be able to talk to this guy. But as you talk to more and more of the more seasoned operators, power isn't the name of the game.
Yep.
It's, you know, you spend about a third of your money on your transceiver, two-thirds of it goes on your antenna system, and then happy days from there.
Yeah, the old adage, isn't it? You can have the best transceiver in the world, but if you get a bad antenna, you're not going to be talking too far.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we spend a lot. As you know, you've helped me. You know, Colin, Jason has been a massive part helping me out. The antenna system has just grown from a basic little HF antenna up to a three-stage tower with Yagis and verticals
and wire running around the property.
Yeah, it's just out of control. Yeah. But it's good. It's good fun. I really enjoy it. It's fantastic.
Like I said, in the last 15 or 18 months, just from calling over to your QDH, it's grown enormously. So it's really pleasing to see that the interest hasn't waned after that period. A lot of foundations get their license, and you know, at times the interest can wane, but you're the opposite. And it's really good to see. On a closing note, have you got any passing tips or advice that you'd pass on to anyone else out there considering getting their foundation call?
Go for it, because it opens the door and then it just takes off from there. I mean, there's so many avenues you can go. If you want to stick with VHF, that's fantastic. But as I say, you can evolve your more equipment, better radios, digital, the world's a limit. Just fantastic. Mm. Just give it a go.
Yeah. So if we have got some listeners out there who are, you know, on 27 megs, or as you said before, we all started somewhere, but just having that window open to multiple bands, even as a foundation call. Been a pleasure to catch up with you, and hopefully we can catch up again in another 12 months, and you never know, you might have upgraded to standard there, Brett.
If you boys have anything to do with it, I dare say that could be on the cards.
Great to hear. Thanks for your time, mate, and this is
VK6 BAS
73s.
As far as we can determine, amateur radio news broadcasts commenced in Western Australia in 1931. If they began earlier than that, we haven't found any evidence of it. Nor can we guarantee that the news broadcasts ran uninterrupted since then. We know for certain that amateur radio transmissions stopped altogether by government order with the advent of World War II and resumed sometime in 1945. Amateur radio news broadcasts in Western Australia resumed after the Second World War and have continued since. Our position in the scheme of things nationally became a bit wobbly when the Wireless Institute of Australia started to behave oddly around 2015, and believe it or not, it was all about an opinion item we aired about Morse keys, and the Wireless Institute disagreed and wrote an apology that they expected us to read out on air. Silly stuff and water under the bridge. and we never put that apology to air, by the way. Later on, we supported Andrew VK6AS in his successful bid to be elected to the board of the Wireless Institute, and without going into detail about the bun fight that ensued, our club was in the Wireless Institute's bad books because we reported the facts around what was happening. Our information came from two sitting directors and the then treasurer of the Institute. Now skip forward to the next WIA board, and things didn't improve, and we kept on reporting. We felt it was our duty to do so because the Wireless Institute's own on-air bugle didn't report on the problems and issues facing the Institute. All they broadcast were denials from the board, but they weren't addressing the problems that ensued. Now, I don't mind being at loggerheads, reporting what I believe to be the truth. Our sources are good, and our view is balanced. I heard a new expression the other day. I thought what people were doing to us was gaslighting. But the new term is closer to the truth. It's called astroturfing. Astroturfing is spreading misinformation at grassroots level. But it's worse than misinformation. There are people who claim to be Wireless Institute supporters performing dirty tricks against us. In the last few months, two successive amateur radio magazine editors refused to publish our Perth Tech advertisements, even though we were entitled as a WIA-affiliated club to place the advertisements. It appears that the editors either decided independently, against WIA policy, to exclude the ads, or were directed to do so by the board. One means by which WIA Amateur Radio News gathers and distributes information locally and nationally is via various amateur radio social media platforms. From time to time, we are summarily deleted from those groups in a blatant attempt to shut us up. This happened again only a week or two ago in a group claiming high status in the amateur radio world, where the poor behaviour of one or two individuals ran unchecked until we complained. Thankfully, that situation was resolved quickly. The alarming part of this is that the Wireless Institute board are into this type of punitive action themselves. There's no doubt in my mind that the board knew of our request to place advertisements in the amateur radio magazine and that they played a role in their not being published. How do I know? Because every request of ours in past years for anything at the Wireless Institute has had to have board scrutiny, even routine little operations. Even when we applied for special event call signs, the process was delayed and frustrated because, in quotes, the request had to go before the board. On one occasion, we were told by the Wireless Institute of Australia that the ACMA had rejected our proposed call sign. We phoned the ACMA and they said that the WIA had recommended that the call sign not be approved. A WIA president a few years ago instigated a president's meeting with club officials just prior to the annual general meeting. That was a good thing. WIA Amateur Radio News never got invited. That wasn't a good thing. I could bore or enthrall you with more, and believe me, there's lots more, but I'll start winding up by reiterating that I am a WIA member and have been all my amateur radio life. I served a couple of terms as a director of the WIA from about 2007 to 2013. WIA Amateur Radio News is a Wireless Institute of Australia affiliated club. Our club's position, and mine too, is that we desire the Wireless Institute of Australia to be successful and to thrive. And that's where the AstroTurf comes in. There are those who tell anyone who will listen that we are anti-WIA. WIA Amateur Radio News is not anti-Wireless Institute of Australia. I am not anti-Wireless Institute of Australia. But I object to the dirty tactics used by some in the mistaken belief that they are helping the Wireless Institute. But they aren't helping, are they? How can bullying and victimisation enhance the image of amateur radio and the Institute? And the Wireless Institute of Australia board is equally culpable because they will not call out the bullying and the sabotage, and they themselves behave badly. Do you know who the president of the Wireless Institute of Australia is? It's Scott Williams. He's a nice bloke. I've spoken to him. He'd like to see the nasty stuff stop. But have you wondered why you don't hear or see anything from him? He's simply outvoted in the board and appears not to have access to the WIA's media. Take a quick look at the website and you'll see that the president is still the previous president after, what, 6 months? And the website isn't updated, hopelessly out of date. If I were to advise the WIA president, I'd be suggesting that he call a special general meeting of members to call this lot out. I've said this before and you'll probably hear me say it again. If that's the Wireless Institute of Australia you want, you don't need to do anything because it won't change unless the membership asks for it. And finally, I repeat my offer. If you disagree, please give me the evidence that I'm wrong. And don't just tell me to get involved, as some have, because I'm already in it, up to my neck, and have been for quite some time. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Something that bugs amateurs more and more these days is QRM, man-made interference. As we increase the use of electronic devices in the house, and indeed the neighbourhood, the possible causes of QRM increase. Outside of your house, there are culprits, such as power lines with faulty switch gear, or transformers, and cracked or dirty insulators. For new amateurs, QRM is frustrating, probably not anticipated, and sometimes you wonder how to get around it. If this was a TV commercial, it's about now that an annoying person in a cheap, ill-fitting costume jumps out and declares, QRM guru! Cheap uniforms on annoying men aren't on offer, but what is on offer to help you sort through your QRM issues is QRM.guru. What is QRM.guru? It's a website, and its name is the web address. At this site is a wealth of experience and knowledge based on information about how to deal with various types of interference that you might be experiencing, with tips and tricks, and even some research. If you can't find a solution for your QRM problems, you can ask questions. QRM.guru is provided free as a service to amateur radio by the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. QRM.guru has been acknowledged and promoted internationally by amateur radio clubs and societies.
The Hills Amateur Radio Group Field Day is on next weekend. The idea of the field day is to bring local hams together, so everyone's invited. But that doesn't mean a gilt-edged card will arrive in your letterbox containing your own personalised invitation. Nobody's getting one of those. The way it works is simple. You just rock up. And if you rock up at 12 noon at the Bill Shaw Reserve, which is located on the corner of Grove and Canning Roads in Wollaston, you'll be rocking up at the same time as the other people. One of the things happening at this field day, well, there's actually two things, is stations participating in both the National VHF-UHF Field Day and the VKFF Field Days, both events happening on the same weekend, and you will have heard about both on News West today. There will be more than that going on, though. A guess is that everyone brings their toys and plays radio, or you could bring something to show it off and try it out. Getting there is easy. Canning Road is the main drag through Kalamunda. If coming from the Perth side, keep driving south on Canning Road and you'll find it. Bring your own lunch or shop at the deli across the road. The weather might be warm, so bring plenty of water or other beverage of choice and sun protection. The location again is the Bill Shaw Reserve, corner of Grove and Canning Roads in Wollaston, at 12 noon onwards on Saturday, 27th of November. So, pop along, bring the toys, and play with portable operation. You don't need to register or anything like that, just simply rock up and be ready to play radio. And of course, the socialising will come into play too.
This is News West from VK6 ARN. Produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Hello, Craig, VK6LAM here for WAG. On the 13th and 14th of November, several members made the trip south to the VK6 RBN Busselton repeater site for a planned maintenance, audit and upgrades weekend. On the agenda was the audit of existing antennas on the 50-metre mast, the installation of the VK6 RBN-3 APRS digipeater, the replacement of two 190 amp hour batteries for a bank of 2 volt 300 amp hour cells, the replacement of aging solar array, and the removal of all old clamps, mounting hardware, and disused feeders from the mast. After the brief trip down on Saturday morning by VK6's ZMS, AXB, TEK and myself, and the trip up for VK6KL from Margaret River, the team met with site owner Alan and got to work removing various disused antennas, mounting hardware, and an old wind generator from the ex-commercial services at the site. Whilst this aloft work was going on, Anthony swept all the existing repeater antennas and feeders to see what needed attention. Two ex-commercial folded dipoles were also analysed for the suitability of the new APRS Digipeter. Whilst I was working aloft with ground support from Kim, KL, Phil, TEK and Martin, ZMS, went about swapping the batteries, removing the old solar array and installing the two new panels on the modified frame. The new panels will complement the site by providing a good 10 amps of charge into the 6 2-volt 300 amp hour gel batteries that were installed. On Saturday afternoon, I swapped the aloft tasking with Anthony, and he continued to replace the existing faulty voice repeater collinear with a new X30, swap out a faulty 2-meter folded dipole, and complete a good visual inspection of hardware at the 50-meter level. On the ground, the installation of the APRS Digipeter took place, along with the coax cable gantry system from the mast to the two equipment shelters. A 5:30 finish for Saturday saw everybody head home or to the motels for a couple of beers and a feed. Sunday morning was bright and clear with a little breeze to keep the flies at bay. The continuing configuration of the APRS installation, the inspection and upgrades of the DC distribution system, and further work at the 50 metre level by Anthony took place, taking up most of the remaining Sunday morning and early afternoon. On the trips home, on-air audits of the APRS and voice repeaters showed APRS coverage back as far as Capel, where the VK6 RMW at Mount William took over. To the south, it should provide coverage down to Margaret River. I could hear the voice repeater back as far as Bunbury with Kim at Margaret River and Anthony talking away. Still some issues with the site, but good progress for the weekend. So a big thanks to Alan, Anthony, Kim, Martin and Phil at the VK6 RBN Busselton repeater weekend. More minor tasking is left, but this can be completed another weekend. Maybe we'll see you down there next time. For WAG, I'm Craig, VK6 LAM.
The vkregs.info website provides a guide to the regulations governing the hobby of amateur radio in Australia. It is a joint publication of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, RASA, and the Radio and Electronics School, RES. You can read and learn about the regulations on the website or download a complete PDF guidebook version. In addition to discussion on the regulations, there are segments about operating procedures, the phonetic alphabet, Q codes, electromagnetic radiation and band plans. Note that the foundation exam uses a subset of the full regulations detailed here. And if you're looking at the site as preparation for an assessment, you should be guided by the foundation syllabus and any course of instruction you may be undertaking to determine the appropriate regulatory elements to learn. Like all RASA resources, this guide is provided at no charge to the amateur radio community. However, donations are welcome. The address again is vkregs.info.
Earlier we told you about qrm.guru. This service is provided free to amateur radio by the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. qrm.guru has been acknowledged and promoted internationally by amateur radio clubs and societies, but not in Australia. The Wireless Institute of Australia will not acknowledge the existence of QRM.guru and recently declined to accept paid advertisements for QRM.guru in its amateur radio magazine. If you paid any attention to last year's WIA financials, you'd know that they just scraped through on the strength of having received $70,000 in JobKeeper from the government, and this funding won't be repeated. Whatever are they thinking, QRM.guru has been praised internationally, but our Wireless Institute pretends it isn't there and declines the income from advertising. What do you think?
Since 1931, providing amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6 ARN.
If you've been paying attention over the last several years, you'd have noticed that News West follows a set of themes week after week. The themes we follow are history of amateur radio, club focus, new amateurs, and contesting. Every now and then the calendar plays a trick on us by inserting an extra Sunday, and in order to keep things lined up and because we're funny that way, we drop our usual theme and run an anything-goes edition of News West. So here's your chance. If you haven't contributed something you had in mind because you couldn't keep track of our weekly themes, in next weekend's News West, your story will fit right in because we'll have a total lack of theme. The usual applies. Your story will need to be about or related to amateur radio and about WA or of interest to Western Australian amateurs. So that leaves you with a fairly clean slate and a broad brush with which you can put together your story and tell your yarn on News West. A story recorded in your own voice would be tops for us, but if recording is out of the question, send your script to us and we'll record it for you. And what's more, we won't even pretend that we wrote it. So please send your contributions as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net. Now we need recordings by Friday. If you want someone else to record your story, we need it for breakfast time Thursday, because I have to allocate it to someone to do, otherwise Muggins has got to do it. You know how that works. Okay, next week, no theme. Let's see what you can do.
Good morning, this is VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline, the 21st of November. Almost Christmas, oh dear, oh dear. Today we have the following items for disposal. We have a Kenwood TS50HF radio with microphone and power lead in a hard-carrying case. Price reduced to $550 or nearest offer. Contact Neville, VK6 Juliet Delta Whiskey, 0439 197 450. 0439 197 450, or email victorkilo6julietdeltawhiskey@gmail.com. VK6JulietDeltaWhiskey@gmail.com. Next item I have is an ICOM 706 for sale. Has been workshop tested. The radio comes with a power lead but does not have a microphone. Asking only $350 for that ICOM 706. Contact Warren, VK6 Victor Echo Tango on 0412-729-543. 0412-729-543. Steve, VK6 Sierra Juliet is selling a automatic tuning antenna, an Alpha Tango Alpha Sierra dash 120 auto tune antenna, suits the Yaesu Fox Tango 450-857-897 and 100 Delta transceivers. Second hand, but in good condition. Looking at $300 for that, please. Pick up only. Contact Steve, VK6 Sierra Juliet, 0403401479, or say again 0403401479, or email to Steve at Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo at Kennedy dash or hyphen Sierra Juliet .com.au. Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo at Kilo Echo November November Echo Delta Yankee hyphen Sierra Juliet .com.au. That's all I have for you for today. If you have any items for next week, please contact me. The address being Victor Kilo 6 X-Ray Victor at bigpond.com, and I'll include your item post-haste. This is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor 73 until we meet again.
Thanks for listening. We do enjoy providing real amateur radio news to you, and we're thrilled that more people outside of News West are contributing stories and recordings on their club's activity. That, after all, is why we exist, to promote what's going on in your amateur radio community. And these stories don't have to only come from clubs. If you're building a double-barreled half-wave ground plane Watsit, the story will be interesting to other people. Really it would, especially a double-barreled half-wave ground plane Watsit. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors. Thanks to the casual contributors this week, both in voice and text, and to the studio team. That's Roy, VK6XV, Jeff, VK6JEF, Mike, VK6KMS, Craig, VK6LAM for his item, and to Andrew for passing around steaming mugs of cocoa. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the News West producer. Please stick around for the callbacks, then sip your steaming cup of cocoa while you get on air and make some noise.